WBEN Buffalo.
Seems like old times. Yes. Holy smokes, it's coming near the end of the 27th year using that song.
Hawaii.
By George, he's got it.
The old redhead. Hawaii.
Oh, does that make me throw up? I have a nice letter from Bill Gleason of the Chicago Sun-Times. He does sports for them. He says, you'll soon be leaving the morning air, and I take this last chance to thank you for playing Dixieland. Your show in WBEE here in Chicago? WBEE? Oh, that's another station. I see. This show is on WBBM. Mm-hmm. But this is WBEE in Chicago that, he says, are my only sources for our native music. I'll miss the jazz almost as much as I'll lament the departure of your baritone or whatever it is.
Full of compliments, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it ain't a contralto, that's for sure.
It ain't no baritone either.
No, it's a basso.
No. I don't think there's a word that describes his voice. Nick Kenny once tried. He said it sounded like a south wind blowing over a meadow full of empty bathtubs.
Hmm.
Which wasn't too bad. During the eulogies for Mr. Armstrong not so long ago, my thought was, if they think so much of his contributions, why don't they play his music? You are among the few who pay homage to Louis in the language he loves. Happy traveling, kindest, Bill Gleason.
Nice letter.
A nice letter. Nice guy. Well, here's one that the late Louis used to do quite often, and nobody could do it as he did, but we'll try.
What?
I get to play a little banjo in it. Well, hello, darling. Hello, darling. It's so nice to have you back where you belong. You're looking swell, darling. We can tell, darling. You're still glowing, you're still growing. You're still going strong. We feel the room swaying for the band's playing one of your old favorite songs from way back when. So take a rap, fellas. Find her an empty lap, fellas. Dolly will never go away again. Swaying for the band's playing one of your old favorite songs from way back when. So golly gee, fellas, find her a vacant knee, fellas. Dolly will never go away. Dolly will never go away. Dolly will never go away. That's all right, but I didn't hear anything that sounded like Louis. Yeah. Harold, give us a chorus to make it sound like Louis. Harold J. Lieberman. Thank you. give it to me again now, Ethel. How's it go? That's wonderful. Thank you, boys.
You know, Louis Armstrong, I saw him in operation as a very good ambassador for this country, living out in Accra, Ghana. Louis came out there on a tour one year, and just prior to that, Prince Philip had been out, and he attracted about 1,500 people at the airport. They thought, well, Louis Armstrong is coming out. Yeah, he's well known, but we won't put up any stands because there won't be that many people. Except when the door of the airplane opened and he took out his handkerchief and said, yeah, man, 10,000 people were there.
Mm. Wow.
Just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever he went, he was just a magnet. Mm-hmm. Terrific.
Yeah, he's a great guy. See. Today is Thursday. It's called Maundy Thursday. This is very, very confusing. Maundy Thursday. Holy Thursday. Protestant and Roman Catholic commemoration of the Last Supper today. And this is the first day of the week-long Jewish holiday, the Passover, right?
Yes.
Right.
So, our sponsor for today is Mountain Valley Water. Mountain Valley Water. I want to be sure that everybody understands that one of the things Mountain Valley Water doesn't want to do is knock anybody else's product. But I personally really resent the business of some companies putting out water with goofy titles on it to make you think it's spring water or something spring-like or something like that, purified. And what they did was run it through a sieve out of the faucet. That burns me up. There's so many jip things around. Be careful when you buy water, whether it's Mountain Valley or anybody else's. Look at that label. There are several good ones. For my money, Mountain Valley is the best one. It comes all the way from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and it comes out of the ground, and you get it just like it came out of the ground. Mountain Valley. It's got me spoiled rotten. I just can't drink anything else anymore except that which flows in my own creeks and my own farm. Mm. I've got them cleaned up so that you can lie down any creek I've got and drink any time you want.
How about your neighbors, though? I mean, how much that creek is on your property?
Every bit of it, it originates on the property.
Oh, it's out of a spring.
There's three of them originate on the property. Now, after it leaves me, I don't know what happens to it, but as of where it is, it's great.
Hmm.
Yes, sir.
Let's go down and get a drink, Rich.
Three springs?
Yeah, oh, there's more than that, but I mean, there's three creeks. There's lots of springs that feed the creeks, but...
Mm. See, you talk to me the right way. We'll cloud seed and increase the amount of water in your creek.
I don't want to do that because it runs off too fast, you know, and I don't want to build any dams and louse up the ecology down there.
It's not nice to fool around with Mother Nature besides you.
Well, on the other hand, Gordon has been able to, through his... He knows about his friend. What's his name? Crick?
Yeah, Dr. Crick.
Dr. Crick. That's an apt name.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Crick, who was the scientist who was used by General Eisenhower to pick D-Day?
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he is in the business of modifying weather, especially in... Where's that? New Mexico?
Right. And Washington and Colorado.
Wherever they have very scarce rainfall.
Right.
And where you have that certain kind of phenomena amongst the cloud situations where you can do this kind of thing, right?
Right.
What they do is ionize the air.
Right.
And there comes rain. I think that's marvelous.
You know, it's something that all of us will be concerned about in the next 4 or 5 years is the big drought that's coming out in the Plain States. You know, it started last year.
It's about time, isn't it? The cycle is back.
That's correct. Yes. See, the first man I've met, I don't have to explain it to. He already knows.
Well, we lived through that last one, man. That was a woozy.
Right in the 50s, and then there was the big dust bowl one in the 30s. Every 22 years.
That was the
years.
One I remembered. That's right. We did have one in the 50s. Yeah, right. I forgot. I was thinking of the one in the 30s that caused the dust bowls.
Right.
Ooh, that was awful. Wow.
And it's another one coming.
Why 20? Is it exactly 22 years?
Not
or in the
exactly.
vicinity of 20 years?
It's just that when the sunspot cycles reach that particular era, the 22-year, what we call a double sunspot cycle, It creates weather patterns that are conducive to creating dry conditions all the way from Texas, starts in Texas and Oklahoma, and stays there for a year or two, and then works its way eventually up into the Midwest about 3 or 4 years later.
What about in other countries, in other parts of the globe? Does it also happen, or just...
That I don't know. I don't know, Max. But regarding the sunspot cycle, those of you who are familiar with radio communications, you know, the hams, the amateurs, they have the 11-year sunspot cycle.
That's right.
Right?
Every 11 years.
Every 11 years. Well, in the drought conditions, we have found it's every 22 years, at least since white man has occupied the plains, at least that we're familiar with.
We get a lot of phony things in the automatic direction finders, radio compasses, when those things are on. You can't get a reading on anything.
Nothing.
Same as it is in what they call night effects. Just after sunset or just before, and just after sunrise or just before. The needles go nuts.
And you're flying from New York to London, and you call Gander. This is 34 Echo, and Trinidad answers you.
That's right.
Gee.
Used to get some of the craziest phenomena happen. I'll never forget one time when I was in the Black Sea. You get a kick out of this, Gordon. I was on duty one time, 4 o'clock in the morning once, when we were laying in Varna, Bulgaria, in the harbor. Middle of January of 1922. Yeah. Cold, oh my, colder than a mother-in-law's kiss. And on good, cold, clear nights when the stars, you look like you could reach up and touch them, you know. And the temperature was way down there, way down in the 20s somewhere, as cold as heck. And the radio was clackling, man, I could hear everything. So I'm sitting there listening, and it's a calm, beautiful night, but cold and still and not a breath of air. And all of a sudden, I hear this, S-O-S, see? Boy, I set up fast, and I started copying. And the guy talks about the distress he's in and the very bad sea, and he's foundering and going to sink any minute and send help and so forth. So I had my transmitter run. These are in the days of 5kW spark sets now. We didn't have vacuum tubes yet, only for receivers. See? And I'm sitting there with that transmitter running. The generator was running because I had been working a station ship. So I just left it where it was, about half power, and answered. And he came right back. And I said, I've received your message. I'll send it down to the old man and be right with you, see? Hold tight. So I went down and woke up the skipper. And I gave it to him. I hadn't learned navigation yet, see? I was just a kid radio man. And he came running back up to the radio shack in his pajamas. He verified our position. So I called the guy and said, please verify your position. He said, yeah, that's right. We're 500 miles off of Cape Race.
I'm in the middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah, here I am in the Black Sea. Said, I put, sorry, old man, we're in the Black Sea. And, you know, even in this, in the bad fix he was in, He had sense of humor enough to say, did it, which laugh. That's the laugh you give when you're an operator. H-I, did it. See? And then he started, did it again, hoping somebody else would pick him up. And I listened for a long time, and he worked somebody else, and then finally they faded out. But it was one of those crazy things. I bet you didn't have a half a KW set on this ship. Little bit of a thing way down here like that. Did.
You listen to the ham bands now, these single side bands?
Yes, I'm still on the air with K4LIB.
K?
K4LIB. K4 Love It Baby.
Love It Baby.
Mm. Sounds like a rock and roll station.
Okay. Ethel, we need you here, honey.
Oh, fine.
This is her new record, isn't it?
Oh, this is a lovely song. I heard it in rehearsals. Beautiful tune.
I wonder who my daddy is. I wonder who. Is he the man came by sometime then went away? Is he the one who telephones and speaks so low? Is he the tall man? Held me on his knee. Is he the short man? Fixed my Christmas tree. Grandma says he can't be found. He won't be back.
It's in your album.
Yes.
Is this one of Gladys Shelley's?
Yes, it is.
Cal is something, huh? Wow.
Boy.
Gee, that's pretty.
Thank you.
That's some album. What's the name of the album?
10 Sides of Ethel Ennis.
Gee, I know about an octagon. What the heck is that? Pentagon? No, five. That's five.
Decagon.
That's you. Decagon.
I like 10 sides better.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3.
He
She's
counts
sitting
up
on
some
3.
Size, yeah. Would you believe 4?
You just can't overemphasize the importance of good health, it says here. That's the reason for the California Prune Health Stakes. After all, good health is what California prunes and prune juice are all about. And the health stakes is your chance to get even healthier. You could win a new automobile with a bicycle rack and 2 Columbia 10-speed bicycles. You stop by your local supermarket's prune display and pick up a health stakes entry blank. And maybe a few prune juice while you're at it. Tell them I sent you, will you? Please remember, no purchase is necessary. Avoid where prohibited. California prunes. So, Gordon Barnes, yesterday when we first started out, I asked you to describe the tropopause for me. For the layman, and that's the name of the atmosphere as it starts at the surface of the earth and goes up to a certain height. And we know we have reached it when the temperature adiabatic rate of change no longer exists and the temperature stays about the same from there on up, right?
Or rises.
And sometimes it gets hot up there.
Right. Not very often, but it will rise at times.
No, that I didn't realize.
Yeah.
But you said something about it goes up 5 degrees for every 1,000 feet?
Fahrenheit. 3 degrees centigrade.
You know, you can get 4 different guys to give you what that adiabatic rate is, and every one will give you a different one.
I know it.
Some say three, some say two, some say... And that's the first time I heard five. You say 5 degrees Fahrenheit, 3 centigrade.
Uh-huh. Well, you know how to convert centigrade to Fahrenheit?
Yeah, I do it on my confuser.
I'll tell you, I thought this up one night going across the ocean. It's very simple. You take the centigrade temperature, 3, double it. Gives you 6, right? Then you subtract 10%, which is 0.6, gives you 5.4, and add 32.
Oh, simple.
That's all you have to remember.
That's right. Just double it, subtract 10%, and add 32. That's better than I can
that
ever remember.
That really is a lot better than the formula I remember agonizing
five
with.
5/9 times 32 or 5/9 something at, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because the zero centigrade is equal to 32 Fahrenheit. Sure. So you take the temperature in centigrade and double it, right?
Right.
Then you subtract 10% of it.
Right.
And add 32.
Right.
Now, how does it work going back the other way?
Very simple. Just work it back the other way.
You start with Fahrenheit.
Right. No, first you take 10%. Be an agent.
That's right. Agents get more than 10%.
Okay, let's take the 54 you had. How are you going to do this now? To subtract 32.
Subtract 32.
And you're going to have 22.
And add 10%.
Add 10%, that's going to be 2.2, that's 24.2.
Oh,
and divided by 2.
And divided by 2, and you got 12.1 mm-hmm. centigrade.
Feed that into your confuser.
I don't have the confuser with
no,
me.
No, but can't you, look, how many times have you flown, especially into Europe and other countries where they give you the temperature in centigrade, and you say, gee, what is that?
Oh, no, because I use centigrade all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And nautical miles, I don't use the statute stuff. No. I've forgotten it. And I'm trying to learn to do centimeters and
millimeters.
Millimeters instead of feet and inches and stuff.
Hmm.
Meters. But it should be, you know. It's a pain in the neck. Everywhere you go, you have to have another thing. Frank, E. Frank, somebody named E. Frank of Forest Hills, Long Island, very kindly sent me a copy of the sheet music of Frank Crummett's Prune Song. Hmm. No matter how young a prune may be, it's always full of wrinkles. Yeah. It says, nowadays, we often gaze on women over 50 without the slightest trace of wrinkles on their face. We may get them on our face. Prunes get them every place. Prohibition bothers us, but prunes don't sit and brood, no matter how young a prune. Maybe it's always getting stewed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cute.
That was a great song, wasn't it?
Didn't you sing it for us one time?
No matter how young a prune may be, it's always full of wrinkles. Homemades get them on their face. Prunes get them ever place. Peaches and bananas have that skin you love to touch. No matter how young a prune may be, it don't amount to much. What's this last one? No matter how young a prune may be, it's always full of wrinkles. Like the Irish, it is true, they stick together, too. Other fruits won't talk to them. They think they are freaks. No matter how young a prune may be, they don't have rosy cheeks.
Terrific.
Yeah. That was sort of fetching lyrics, huh? Frank Crummett. You folks are too young to remember him, but boy, I do.
Julius Anderson, wasn't it?
Was his wife.
Sweethearts of the Air.
They worked together. Indeed, they did. Indeed, they did. Oh, you don't.
No, he studies history.
You couldn't possibly remember.
Oh, I've been a radio buff as long as I can remember.
It's a prenatal memory.
I used to listen to the radio like kids watch television. I loved the radio.
Me too.
Loved listening to it, and I still do.
Your mother used to listen when she was carrying you. That's how it happened.
Yeah, it was before transistors, too.
Sure. Max, we need a song from you, feller.
All right, Arthur, I've got another rag here. This is one of...
Let's wipe it off.
I remember Max when he was on the radio, and he used to be modern shows, the stuff he does now.
Maybe I better sing one.
Okay.
We'd love to hear you.
All right, I'll do Let's All Go Around to Mary Ann's.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. She makes good soup. By the way, while we're talking about it, where are you going to be? Next.
What day is today?
The 30th.
Today is the 30th of March.
Let's see, I have a show. My next show, Arthur, is right down in your part of the country in Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
The Community Concert Association down there.
That's not fair a piece away.
I'm taking my son down there. He wants to go on a one-nighter with me where we can just go out and come back.
Yes,
you know, sometimes
yes.
Taking. So he said to me the other day, he said, that's spring vacation. When can I go? Can I go to a show with you? And I said, yeah, I've got a one-nighter down in Maryland. He says, what's the name of the town? I said, Frederick. That's his name. And I hadn't even thought about it, you know. And I thought, what a perfect place to take my kid. And he was really entranced by the idea that there's a city named after him.
Yeah.
So I'll be down there on the 8th of April, Arthur.
This is Max Morath, the wizard of the ragtime piano and also the greatest one-man show in America.
In our towns, like Sunday night in yours, nothing to do on the outside, nothing to do indoors. They even shut the movies as soon as it gets dark. They chase the couples in off the stoops and then they lock the park. But there's one place, if you can find your way, and just as soon as the drugstore shuts, you'll hear somebody say, let's all go around the Mary Ann's and tickle a tune upon the piano. There's something nice, always on the ice, and you don't have to ask her twice to get a Coca-Cola. Her front door has never known a lock. It's always standing open and you never have to knock. Nobody knows what time it is, the hands are off the clock, so you never get home till morning, round at Mary Ann's.
The hands are off the clock. You never get home till morning around the Mary Ann's. Ah, I love that. That's Max Morath. And that's the end of the show for today, folks. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Get early morning sports news Monday through Saturday with Sports World Roundup on the CBS Radio Network.
You are listening to WBEN in Buffalo.